Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is the true story of a charismatic entrepreneur.
The guy's got a gift, and he used it.
His visionary wife,
she felt very strongly that she was getting messages from above.
And the forbidden temptations that tear them apart.
There's something sexually exciting about being naughty and knowing that you're getting away with something.
It's a story of shameless deception.
All of a sudden, the love of her life is now married to somebody else.
And ultimate destruction. Beware.
Oh my God!
Extreme passion can lead to shocking consequences. Gilbert, Arizona is a quiet and peaceful community outside of Phoenix.
A lot of the people that commute and work in Phoenix, they like to live out here in Gilbert and raise their families.
Gilbert's a very close-knit, neighborhood-friendly community.
Many of the families in town are members of a devout religious group.
A large percentage of the population of Gilbert are members of the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints, also known as Mormons.
In 2000, Faylene Grant is among the most faithful.
She did her best to actually live the way that they're supposed to live.
She was very full of life and very nice to other people, very generous.
She was a very beautiful woman.
7 years earlier, after ending her first marriage, 27-year-old Faylene married fitness guru and gym owner Doug Grant.
Doug was a trainer, and my mom went there to go get trained, and that's where Doug and my mom's relationship started.
A highly motivated businessman, Doug paves a path to financial success with a nutritional supplement company he runs with Faylene.
Doug's business was actually flourishing very well. He could sell ice to Eskimos. He was an extremely gifted salesman.
Doug is probably the most charismatic person that you could run across. He had a way of speaking, especially to women. The guy's got a gift, and he used it.
By the start of 2000, Faylene appears to have everything a good Mormon woman could want, including a full house with her husband and their combined 5 children. But for this faithful wife, something is missing. For the past 7 years of marriage, Faylene has tried to convince Doug to get sealed in a sacred Mormon ceremony, one that bonds family members together for all eternity.
It was very important for my mom to get sealed to Doug because in our religion, you can get sealed and essentially be with your family together forever if both the husband and wife are faithful to each other.
But Doug, who is less devout than Phelan, doesn't feel the need for a ceiling. Until, finally, in early 2000, he gives in. On January 8th, Phelan happily stands with Doug before the officiant in the temple.
She was thrilled. After all those years of waiting, she finally gets her dream.
But Phelan's moment of bliss is short-lived.
While they're there in the temple on this wonderful day for her, she has this feeling come over her. Phelan just started to cry.
In an instant, her perfect ceremony threatens to crumble as she's overcome by a horrifying vision about her husband.
Phelan starts to have a lot of internal conflict about feelings that she's experiencing, that there are other women that he is seeing on the side.
She felt that he had been unfaithful to her. That would have been absolutely devastating for Phelan. It undoes all of her dreams for her family to be able to be a unified unit throughout eternity.
Phelan does her best to go through with the ceremony, but the startling experience leaves her deeply troubled. Is Doug not the good Mormon man he pretends to be? Or is Phelan's mind playing tricks on her? In the weeks following the ceremony, Phelan continues to be tormented by the fear that her husband has been cheating on her.
After my mom and Doug got sealed, her suspicions just kept growing worse and worse.
For Phelan, there's only one thing to do.
Phelan is different from most Mormons in that she has this mystic side, that she had visions.
Whenever she struggled with any decision in her life, the first place she would turn to is a trip to the Mormon temple. While she's praying, she receives some extremely strong promptings that her feelings are correct.
Phelan is now faced with the most heartbreaking decision of her life. Finally, she builds up enough courage to face her husband.
I think we need to talk. I know that you have committed adultery.
Stunned, Doug adamantly denies any infidelity.
This is a joke, right?
He was trying really hard to persuade my mom.
I have not been with anybody else.
Doug was saying that he was being faithful and that he had never cheated on her.
I would never do that.
But Phelan's not buying it. I feel it. I know you have. I can't prove it, but I can feel it.
She had made up her mind. After thinking about it, praying about it, she decided that she needed to end the marriage.
But her die-hard convictions will come with severe consequences. On June 28th, 2000, just 6 months after their sealing ceremony, Phelan files for divorce. Her friends and family are baffled by her decision to leave her devoted husband without proof of her suspicions.
Everyone was telling her not to do it.
She does not have a lot of family support in going through with this. She does not have a lot of church support. She's extremely isolated on her own.
It'd also be a financial hardship to go through with the divorce.
Phelan has a huge stake in the nutritional supplement company that she helped Doug build.
They started their business together. They were making a lot of money, millions of dollars.
But Phelan isn't about to put up a fight. She plans to give him everything. Still, with the wheels set in motion, Doug worries how the divorce will affect his business and image within the tight-knit Mormon community. To protect his reputation among his mostly Mormon staff, Doug tackles the issue head-on.
Look, there's something that we have to talk about.
With his marriage on the rocks, Doug pulls all the people in his business and informs them that he's getting a divorce.
There's going to be some news around the office, and I want you guys to hear from me first.
But there's one employee in particular who appears to take a special interest in Doug's misfortune. The company's 19-year-old secretary, Hillary.
Hillary is beautiful. She is stunning. And she very much looks like the Barbie role. She is long, blonde hair.
She grew up in a very small town. The community she grew up in was also mainly a Mormon community.
To ease some of Doug's stress over the collapse of his marriage, Hillary cozies up to her much older employer.
Doug and Hillary hit it off almost immediately.
Well, that's why I'm around, right?
She, I think, is enamored by the charisma that Doug has and appears financially set and wealthy.
Over the next few months, the young secretary and her boss grow closer. Then, finally, on October 17th, 2000, Doug and Faelian's divorce is finalized. Now a free man, Doug doesn't miss a beat moving on with his life.
The very next day, Doug and Hillary go on what Doug claims is the first official date. It's also Hillary's birthday, and it's kind of a quasi-celebration of both the divorce being final and Hillary's birthday.
As Mormons, Hillary and Doug are well aware that sex before marriage is strictly forbidden.
In the Mormon faith, you stay morally clean before you're married.
But the temptation is too strong. And without a moment's hesitation, the lovers give in to their lustful desires.
They pretty much bypassed all the beliefs and the teachings of the Mormon Church.
And for them, there was no rules. They could do whatever they want.
There's something sexually exciting about being naughty. There's a high knowing you shouldn't do something, but you're going to do it anyway because it feels good.
Hillary is enjoying all the benefits of being the new woman in Doug Grant's life. But when a stunning turn of events threatens to dethrone the young woman, how far will she go to keep her man?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's October 2000 in the serene Phoenix suburb of Gilbert, Arizona. Recently divorced health expert Doug Grant is involved in a steamy relationship with Hillary, the hot receptionist nearly half his age.
For Hillary, this powerful, successful guy is showering her with attention, and she really gets swept up in the relationship.
And Doug is completely captivated by his sexy, younger girlfriend.
The relationship quickly grows beyond work. She becomes kind of a centerpiece in Doug's life.
Hillary was like Doug's dream of the ideal woman because while she was naive and innocent and young and youthful, she was also sexually adventurous, which was not typical for the Mormon woman.
Once he found Hillary, I think he was just set. He was hooked and he started an obsession with her and was not willing to let her go.
Despite the trauma of his recent split with his former wife, Faelian, Doug appears to be completely devoted to his new love. But unbeknownst to Hillary, her Romeo is not nearly as faithful as he pretends to be. He's been secretly spending time with an old flame, Her name is Donice.
Donice is a very attractive female. She did beauty pageants and at one point was actually Miss Louisiana.
Their relationship began nearly 10 years earlier, before he met Feline, and it quickly developed into an ongoing affair.
Donice was always told by Doug that they were soulmates and that it was just their situation in life that prevented them from being together. Either Doug was in a relationship or Donice was in a relationship.
Through the years, Donice has held out hope that she and Doug would eventually be together as a couple.
When she found out that Doug and my mom were getting divorced, she was very excited.
Doug and Donice have this emotional intimacy combined with a sexual intimacy, and it's like a powerhouse. It's very electrifying.
But Doug has a talent for keeping secrets from the women in his life. And Donice is about to find out she's no exception. In the fall of 2000, she starts to suspect that this time Doug is cheating on her. On a whim, she pays him an impromptu visit.
She drives over to Doug's house one morning, very, very early in the morning, and sees another vehicle in his driveway.
Little does she know that inside, Doug is snuggled up with his new girlfriend, Hillary. Doug desperately tries to cover the fact he has company.
So Donice just keeps banging and banging on the door.
Hillary quickly hides while Doug decides what to do.
Donice, why are you here?
I see a car in the driveway.
Clearly unable to carry on his masquerade, Doug comes clean.
Doug confirms to her that there is another female in the house, and that female was Hillary.
And if that isn't bad enough, Doug then twists the knife and admits he's not just involved in some fling. It's a full-on relationship.
Donice is devastated. Her chance to be with Doug is now over.
Devastated, Donice breaks up with Doug and storms off.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
But it's not the last time the scorned mistress will make herself heard. Furious, Donice exacts revenge in the most hurtful way possible by contacting Doug's ex-wife, Feline.
She actually admits to Feline her extramarital affairs that she's had with Doug throughout Feline's marriage. For the first time, this is the confirmation. This is the justification that she was right.
My mom had some vindication, and she knew without a doubt that she was fully justified in filing for divorce.
Now armed with concrete proof of Doug's infidelity, Feline plans to use it. That spring, she orchestrates a meeting with the key players in this unholy love triangle.
Doug, take a seat, please.
She'd been lied to for so long, her whole entire marriage. She thought, okay, it's time. Let's get Donice and Doug in the same room. So Doug can't lie now.
She actually sees it as a rehabilitation or almost an intervention for Doug.
I know about Donice.
My mom's reaction is, let's get all your sins out in the open so that you can actually go through the repenting process.
This is your chance to repent.
Doug, this has to stop.
With his ex-lover and his ex-wife in the same room, the conversation gets heated, and Doug has no other option than to finally be honest.
He does admit to the continuous affair that he's had pretty much throughout his entire marriage with Feline.
Feline's plan appears to be a success.
The meeting ends with Doug actually claiming that he will be turning over a new leaf and that he's going to try to follow the teachings of the church better, maintain a monogamous relationship, and essentially cease with all of his affairs.
Within weeks of the meeting, Doug's case is sent to the Mormon Church Court to determine his atonement and punishment. On May 30th, 2001, after reviewing the issue of his infidelity, the church leadership reaches their decision, and it's a harsh one.
Doug was excommunicated from the Mormon Church. There isn't a bigger, more severe punishment.
To add insult to injury, the banished playboy also faces financial repercussions for his actions.
His market base was heavily oriented to that faith in which he has now been excommunicated from.
For now, All he can do is make the best of this difficult situation. As he tries to maintain his new, more godly lifestyle. Rejected by his ex-wife and his church, Doug turns to Hillary for comfort. And for the next 6 weeks, their love affair is back in full swing. But unbeknownst to his young girlfriend, Doug still has some unfinished business he needs to discuss with his ex-wife. In July 2001, Doug convinces Faylene to meet him in Dallas, Texas, for an important meeting about the nutritional supplement business they used to share.
My mom did not at all want to go on this trip, but Doug persuaded her that it was in her best interest to get everything worked out.
But as the two settle in, Doug suddenly opens his heart to his ex-wife and confesses his deepest wish to reconcile.
Faylene, I think that we should talk about something.
They're beginning discussions about how Doug feels they need to put the family back together.
And I swear, from now on, I will only live for you.
He had told her that he was in a great place in his life, that he had repented.
Doug knows how to sell his product, and he knows how to sell himself.
Give me a second chance.
I don't...
And for Faylene, she allowed herself to be seduced.
Everything he was telling my mom was everything she's always wanted to hear.
The concept of the perfect little family with Doug was always really high on Faylene's priority list. At the same time, knowing his history, she was apprehensive.
How can you expect me to forgive you?
I don't.
Did she believe in him that the things that he had gone through had really made him a changed man?
For the next few days, Faylene turns to a higher power for guidance in determining her future.
She felt very strongly that she was getting messages from above. She took them very, very seriously.
After much contemplation, Faylene reaches a decision. She calls Doug and tells him she prayed at the temple and God has given her an answer.
Doug?
What she decides is that I want to believe that Doug is being honest.
After she thought and prayed about it, she felt like it was the right thing to do for her and her family.
I think we should get married again.
She's at this point willing to completely absolve Doug of all of his prior issues and start fresh.
Yeah, I'll see you soon.
While Doug is thrilled with Faylene's decision, Hillary's hopes for a future with her lover are about to go up in flames. Doug has already left one angry woman in his wake. Will news of Doug's engagement to his ex drive Hillary to the ultimate act of revenge? It's the summer of 2001. For years, Phoenix nutrition and fitness expert Doug Grant had been keeping his extracurricular workouts a secret from his wife, Faylene, until one day, she found out and the marriage ended. But in a twisted turn of events, Faylene's decided to forgive her two-timing ex for his past indiscretions and give him another chance. On July 27th, Faylene and Doug remarry in an impromptu Las Vegas ceremony. When they return to Phoenix, Faylene and the kids move back in with Doug in the home they once shared.
She is very excited and happy about the potential and the prospects of Doug turning over this new leaf. But there's still the issue that Doug is excommunicated from the church. And part of what's going on with their relationship at this point is Doug needs to get back into the church.
In an effort to be forgiven by the Mormon church and Faylene, Doug makes a solemn vow.
Part of the agreement was for him, obviously, to stop all communication, to not talk, call, meet, anything with Hillary.
And he appears to be keeping his promise.
I think she was starting to be happy and to think that, you know what, maybe he has changed.
Faylene is thrilled and feels like he is finally the man that she's wanted throughout her entire marriage.
But there's someone else who's bound to interfere with their newfound happiness. Shortly after the ceremony, Doug's girlfriend Hillary finds out about the wedding, and she's furious. After all, Doug is supposed to be her man.
She is completely sucker punched by this man who told her that he loved her.
All of a sudden, the love of her life is now married to somebody else. And she calls my mom demanding an explanation.
But she's greeted with a deeply unorthodox response from the woman she considers her bitter rival.
Surprisingly, Faelene does not react to Hillary with anger or jealousy.
She tells Hillary that they feel like it's right to get their family back together.
If anything, I think she actually feels bad for Hillary.
Instead of casting Hillary aside, Faelene seizes the opportunity to counsel her much younger adversary.
She pushes Hillary to go back to the church, and she almost becomes like a mentor to Hillary.
But Faelene will soon learn that these cozy new arrangements are too good to be true. Just weeks after Faelene remarries her ex and befriends Hillary, the former lovers betray her trust.
There's a series of phone calls, fairly lengthy phone calls, between Doug and Hillary.
Hello.
And the topic at this point is Hillary is financially struggling.
Doug and Hillary have a late night conversation, and she reveals that she's been having a lot of financial problems.
And Doug agrees to actually transfer some money into her account to help her out.
All right.
But the seemingly innocent gesture will prove disastrous. A few nights later, in an effort to uphold his new role as the faithful husband, Doug decides to admit the truth to Faelene.
Doug seems to have some guilt.
Faelene, there's something I have to tell you.
He confesses to Faelene and tells her that he's been continuing to talk to Hillary.
She needed some money.
This was devastating news to Faelene. She began to question everything that Doug had told her up to this point.
I thought you were changed.
Although he was playing this role of the good husband, something clicked for Faelene where she realized she didn't have him as much as she thought she did.
She thinks Doug is just going to start back into all of his old ways. She was completely distraught.
Doug's lapse in judgment is the last straw for his devoted wife. In the days that follow, Faelene slides into a crippling depression.
Doug's constant betrayal has a really profound effect on Faelene.
She looks to the only form of solace she knows besides prayer.
She turns to her journal, which she does often as a source of comfort.
She was just so overcome with sadness.
It hurt me worse because now he was betraying such a deeper relationship, and it made me question my sanity.
Just kind of blows up that storybook picture she has of what they're capable of having.
There's only so much a betrayed spouse can take, and someone in this sordid love triangle is about to pay the ultimate price. On the morning of September 27th, the Gilbert Police Department receives a panicked 911 call from a physician's assistant named Chad White.
When the paramedics arrive, they enter the house and they find Chad is performing CPR on a female patient.
Paramedics take over CPR and are able to get her heart beating again, but she's in really critical condition.
The woman is Faelene Grant. As paramedics fight to save her life, Doug explains to police that after he woke up that morning, he discovered Faelene in the bathroom.
She was under the water.
He had found his wife in the tub, pulled her from the bathtub.
Doug tells police he then called his personal physician's assistant, Chad, in a panic.
It appeared that Faelene had taken some medication. Investigators found some empty pill bottles, and the bathtub was still full with water. Their conclusions were that Faelene had ingested an unknown amount of pills, taken a bath, she'd become unconscious, causing her to slip under the water and potentially drown.
Faelene is rushed to the hospital, where she's kept alive for several hours. By mid-afternoon, she's pronounced dead. Her family and friends are stunned by the sudden news.
I think everybody was still in such shock, they're trying to process what was going on.
Later that evening, police determine her cause of death.
The initial police reports indicated that this was actually an accidental drowning, and there was no crime investigated.
But when the toxicology report comes in, detectives are struck by one particularly puzzling detail.
Phelene had an extremely high level of Ambien in her system. And the medical examiner ruled the cause of death Ambien intoxication and drowning.
Although detectives aren't clear how such a large dose of the drug ended up in her body, one thing is certain. Phelene's death is starting to look like anything but an accident. Could Phelene's despair over Doug's betrayal have driven her to suicide? Or did someone else have an invisible hand in her tragic drowning? It's October 2001 in the normally quiet suburb of Gilbert, Arizona, where the shocking death of 35-year-old Phelene Grant is the talk of the town. The toxicology report has revealed high doses of sleeping pills in her system, indicating she may have taken her own life. As detectives investigate the possibility of suicide, her husband, Doug, appears to recover quickly from his wife's death. Just 1 month after Phelene's untimely demise, Doug is already moving on with his former girlfriend, Hillary.
Doug and Hillary were married within 30 days of the actual funeral.
Once my family found out that Doug had remarried Hillary, they were all shocked.
Family members were skeptical and suspicious of his activities and continue to push investigators to dig deeper.
To back their suspicions, Phelene's family recounts a story Doug told them about a bizarre incident that took place just days before she died.
My mom and Doug decided to go on a second honeymoon, and my mom wanted to go to Utah and visit some sites and go hiking. So they go to Utah, and they're at the top of the mountain.
Phelene steps over a barrier and gets close to the edge.
She was looking up into the sky, and she accidentally stepped too far, causing her to fall.
Phelene!
The drop is 60 feet. And according to Doug, he was terrified of what he might find below. But by the time he climbed down, to his astonishment, Phelene was already on her feet.
They said that the only thing that kept her alive was the tree branches that caught her fall.
The family then explains that the story seemed odd at the time, but Phelene had confirmed Doug's account.
You ready?
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
In light of this new information, detectives decide to take a closer look at the events leading up to Phelene's death.
The investigators handling the case found it concerning that Phelene had this near-death experience falling off a cliff, only to return home 3 days later, and within 12 hours is deceased.
In July 2002, Doug is questioned at his home. The widower is upfront about the details surrounding Phelene's mysterious fall and explains that a few days later, Chad, his personal physician's assistant, prescribed medication for her pain.
It wasn't until the next morning that he realized that she had taken all of that medication and gotten the bath.
He tells police that he pulled Phelene out of the bathtub, tried to perform CPR, but then called Chad.
But one especially alarming detail of Doug's story piques investigators' interest.
He never calls 911. Not only did he not call 911, but the person he did call, in this case, Chad, was in the shower. The call went to voicemail, and he left a voicemail. If there was ever a reason to call 911, getting the voicemail would be an indication that I need to call somebody else.
Detectives find Doug's account of his wife's death troubling and decide to hone in on this cagey widower. And when they pull Doug's phone records, they make an incriminating discovery.
There was several hundreds of phone calls, just countless phone calls from Doug to Hillary.
And what's more, the number of calls between the two appeared to spike on two particularly suspicious days.
Around the time that Doug's remarriage to Phelene, the cliff incident, while they're hiking on the cliff, there's an enormous peak of activity with Hillary calling Doug at that point. And it painted a different picture that Hillary and Doug were actually maintaining a lot more communication than Doug ever let on to.
Ten months after Faelene's death, Doug is interrogated again, this time at the Gilbert Police Station.
Doug recounted a very similar story as he did for us previously.
But before he goes, Doug makes a surprising offer.
He was saying there was more information that he had for us.
I want you to read what she wrote.
That he did have some letters that Faelene had written and that we would need to see those letters.
You read them and then you tell me if you still think I had anything to do with this. But we're done.
Within weeks, a package arrives at the Gilbert Police Station from Doug's attorney.
It was just full of writings that Faelene had made, some letters to all of her journals. So it gave us a really good glimpse of Faelene's thoughts right up to the time of her death. And it's what really started to tie things together.
These items reveal, in Faelene's own words, the picture of a woman in terrible anguish.
I did find a couple of references where Faelene was extremely distraught over issues between her and Doug. And she would talk about feelings she would have of just ending it all.
I then tell Doug I need help and how I'm feeling and why, and that I'm suicidal.
But was Faelene tormented enough to want to end her life? As investigators dig deeper, they come across one journal entry that stops them in their tracks.
We discovered in the journal entries, Doug describing to Faelene that he had a dream that Faelene died and that she went to the celestial kingdom and that she delivers this baby girl to Hillary, who is now married to Doug, and that that's Faelene's role in the afterlife.
But things are about to get a lot more eerie when detectives uncover a letter Hillary wrote Faelene outlining a very similar dream.
Hillary had told Faelene about a dream she had where Faelene had died. For Faelene, she would have found this really remarkable, almost like a miracle. For them to have the same dream meant that it would have been some sort of sign from God.
The case of the death of Faelene Grant is getting stranger by the minute. While Doug and Hillary were well aware of the unwavering faith Faelene had in her visions, could the pair have somehow convinced Faelene to take her own life? It's 2005 in Gilbert, Arizona. Over the past 4 years, the case of the death of Faelene Grant, who mysteriously drowned in her bathtub, has stalled. When they last investigated the case, police suspected Faelene committed suicide and that her husband, nutritional health guru Doug Grant, and his new wife, Hillary, may have helped her along.
We had a lot of circumstantial information. This caused the case to be very stagnant.
But in January of that year, detectives get a break when a former friend of Doug's decides to break his silence and come forward with some disturbing information. He claims that the day after Faelene's death, Doug made a startling confession.
During that meeting, Doug actually admitted to him that he put the Ambien in acute capsules. And acute is one of the formulas that Doug would sell as kind of a homeopathic painkiller.
The man explains that with the powerful Ambien pills hidden in Doug's herbal supplements, Faelene had no idea what she'd consumed.
Once she took the medication, she passed out. He filled the bathtub, and he actually put her in the bath and held her head under.
But the worst is yet to come. Doug then told the man that despite being heavily sedated, Faelene struggled and fought for her life. But it wasn't enough to break free.
He continued to hold her head underwater until she had drowned.
In an effort to confirm these allegations, detectives reach out to Faelene's relatives.
Family members describe Faelene as being very homeopathic. It was rare for her to even take an aspirin.
What she would be taking is their own herbal supplements from their own company.
But why would Doug want to kill his wife? Investigators consider the theory that Doug eliminated Faelene to be with his former girlfriend, Hillary. But then they come across another motive, one perhaps more powerful than desire. Money.
We found that her life insurance policy, which was right around $300,000, was actually, there was an attempt to increase it to $860,000 just days before her death.
On July 14th, 2005, Doug Grant is arrested and charged with first-degree murder. In November 2008, more than 7 years after his wife Faelene's death, Doug's trial finally begins. His defense team uses Faelene's own words to reveal a woman with a death wish.
Doug and his legal team decided that their best defense was that Faelene killed herself. The best way to explain it was by using her journal entries to make her look like a crazy religious wacko zealot that is willing to take their own life in order to be able to go to heaven.
Meanwhile, the prosecution suffers a major blow when their key witness, the one who relayed Doug's supposed confession, recants his story.
This would have been the crucial piece of evidence that explained how Doug had actually killed Faelene. And without that, the jury was left to wonder what had actually happened.
They hadn't been able to discover exactly how he did or what he did or why he did it.
After nearly 3 weeks of deliberation, the jury finds Doug Grant not guilty of first-degree murder.
But they knew that something was not right.
And they do find him guilty of the lesser charge of manslaughter, meaning they believe that he was ultimately responsible for Faelene's death, even if he didn't intentionally kill her. Doug is sentenced to 5 years in prison. In the months following the trial, the crushing verdict and short sentence takes a toll on Faelene's loved ones.
Obviously, it was devastating to the family to see Doug walk away from a first-degree murder charge.
But in May 2009, a second unexpected tipster from Doug's past comes forward with a new motive for Doug to have wanted Faelene dead. He reveals that Hillary and Denise weren't the only women in Doug's long line of affairs.
It wound up being the husband of one of the women that Doug had been having an affair with.
The betrayed husband explains that when he found out that Doug had slept with his wife, he threatened to financially back Faelene in a second divorce proceeding.
The first time she divorced him, she let him have everything in their multi-million dollar business. The second time, was she going to do the same?
The second divorce would have put Doug's entire fortune in jeopardy. Just prior to Faelene's death, the man gave Doug an ultimatum, not knowing the tragic consequences it would have.
If you don't tell her, I am going to. It was within a matter of 3 weeks. The Faelene is now dead.
In 2009, Faelene's family sues Doug in civil court for the wrongful death of Faelene. The attorney for her family argues that the witness's ultimatum to Doug was the primary motivation for killing Faelene. The judge finds Doug guilty of wrongful death and racketeering, ruling that he is liable for his wife's death.
The end result was we were able to get for them a $2 million judgment on behalf of the four children.
Doug's insatiable appetite for illicit sex left a trail of destruction in its wake. And no amount of money can come close to erasing the pain of losing a loved one.
Doug, being a selfish person, I think he honestly did not care who he was hurting. Doug was having an affair with these women who also had families and husbands and kids, and he just affected so many people. He only cared about pleasing himself.
Here's a cool fact. a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.